This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, McCabe accuses Rosenstein of perjury before the United States Senate.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
When Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, asked him about was there any there, and he said, no, there wasn't. Remember who's saying this. This is Rod Rosenstein, the number two guy at the Justice Department, the guy who at the time was acting attorney general.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Rod Rosenstein did the easy thing. Instead of doing the tough thing and saying, I'm going to dig into this and figure out what actually happened, he says, I'll just put it to Bob Mueller. And Bob Mueller then became, the special counsel investigation then became the insurance policy, because then they knew they had 2 years of this investigation, 2 years farther out, where they could cover up all the things that took place at the highest levels of the FBI with McCabe and Baker Strzok and Page and Comey.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So as you know on the broadcast yesterday, the hearing was still going on with Rod Rosenstein. The issues that some of you asked about, the 25th Amendment, that came up at the hearing, and Rod Rosenstein's response. Again, you have to listen very closely to him. He does not, even in statements that sound like he's saying yes or no, but with explanation, if you listen like that, step closer, there's always something kind of hanging out there. He was also pressed. The statement from Andrew McCabe, Andrew McCabe said Rod Rosenstein is guilty of giving, quote, false testimony. Okay, so Rod Rosenstein was under oath yesterday. He's being accused of a crime now by Andy McCabe. And it's specific in reference to about that timeline about, did he know about the Comey memos and the leak of those memos, and why wasn't Andrew McCabe more forthcoming there? And then Rod Rosenstein responded to that as well. When we, I want to play this for everybody, and let's do it now, kind of set everything up. This is the exchange. Senator Graham read to Rod Rosenstein what Andrew McCabe had accused him of at the very end of the hearing, and then let Rod Rosenstein respond. Take a listen.
Can you explain why you are right and more than 1,000 former...
All right. We'll come back to that. That was the 25th Amendment question. We will get to that as well later in the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. Let me go first to Andy Economou, who's with us. And Andy, the issue specifically, Andrew McCabe, who we had the kind of discussion about, is he going to be silent? This is a guy who's also suing to get his pension back. Would he try to claim the Fifth? Now he's accusing people of crimes. If I'm a U.S. attorney, not even just the Senate staff, which I think has an absolute right to subpoena him to testify now, because he put himself in the middle of it by making a new statement accusing their latest witness, who was under oath, of giving false testimony. But if I'm the U.S. attorney, I'm definitely bringing these two in.
Oh, I definitely want to hear what he has to say. I don't know that he's going to not take the Fifth. If I was him, I'd shut my mouth and wouldn't say anything further, although you may have waived your right to assert the Fifth Amendment, having made a statement that Rosenstein lied. But McCabe, you know, has a lot of internal fortitude making the statement, of all people, that Rosenstein provided false testimony, considering what he did and his role in the entire investigation and the entire matter. So the rats are turning on each other right now, as I see it.
All right, let me go to Thad in Washington, D.C., because Thad, the committee is meeting yet again right now. Now, they don't have a witness before them. They are debating and discussing, I'd say, the subpoena power that Senator Graham is seeking as the chairman to issue these up to 53, is what we know about. It's been made public so far, that these 53 individuals involved in this. But obviously, there's pushback from Democrats, which is very telling to me. They loved having Rod Rosenstein before them in these last few years. But now, all of a sudden, he's not so fun to have testifying when he said he wouldn't have signed the FISA if he knew this information from McCabe. And now you've got a back and forth. I think if you're a Democrat, then it's not great that Andrew McCabe just accused him of lying, because now you've got another back and forth to deal with.
Well, and Rod Rosenstein still might get a subpoena out of this. Interestingly enough, though, Jordan, the Democrats said they wanted to call the special counsel, Bob Mueller, and Chairman Graham said, okay, I'll call him, but you might want to think twice about that. Do you really want to have him come before us again? Because he did that once, and it didn't go too well from you. Jordan, if they want to call him, I think the chairman would.
All right, folks, we've got a lot to talk about. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Your questions, your comments, because we were on the air yesterday and the hearing was still ongoing. Now, there were key points that we learned right off the bat. Rod Rosenstein tried to say that he actually wouldn't have signed the FISA renewal on Carter Page. He said that immediately. That was like one of the first questions he was asked. He said immediately if he knew what we all know now. Which means there wouldn't have been a special counsel, but yet he was still trying to defend a lot of the work of the special counsel. Now, he said he agrees that there was no collusion and that the special counsel was fine. He also agrees that he believes that there was no obstruction either. And looking back, if he actually believes he wouldn't have signed off on that FISA, there would have been no special counsel in the first place. So it's very complicated. You had people like Senator Cruz, Senator Hawley, and others really questioning Rosenstein. How are you saying you're not responsible for any of this when you say that you wouldn't have done this, but you didn't even read the documents, you didn't ask the questions? It's either gross negligence or intentional. Now, it's pretty scary to believe that it could be intentional, but we know one step down from Rod Rosenstein, if you're looking at the flow chart, it was intentional. I mean, Andy, to me, that's where you see Andy McCabe with knee-jerk reactions to this testimony when, honestly, there's so many things going on in the country, it's not even getting the same kind of attention. But by him stepping in and accusing Rosenstein of lying, of perjuring himself, of misleading the committee, of making false testimonies, false statements, that is a serious allegation.
Well, it is a serious allegation. You're making an allegation of perjury before the Congress of the United States, before the United States Senate, and you're saying that he gave false testimony to someone with whom you worked and to whom you were responsible under the chain of command. These are serious allegations that could result in someone being prosecuted for false statement and for other crimes that have been committed. But I think it shows the grand design here, and that was to do anything they could to discredit the Trump administration, and both before and after the president acceded to office by this hoax investigation of Robert Mueller, which, let's not forget, it was acting Attorney General Rod Rosenstein who set this into motion. He is the one who appointed Mueller as the special counsel. He could have stopped that at any time, but he didn't choose to do that.
I want you all to listen to the exchange. So this happened after we were on the air. This is at the very end of the hearing. Rod Rosenstein he got a chance to respond. So this McCabe allegation came out while Rosenstein was still under oath, still testifying to the committee. Lindsey Graham reads Andrew McCabe's statement, has Rosenstein respond. Take a listen.
This comes from Mr. McCabe. Mr. Rosenstein's claims to have been misled by me or anyone from the FBI regarding our concerns about President Trump and the Trump campaign's interactions with Russia are completely false. Mr. Rosenstein approved of and suggested ways to enhance our investigation of the president. Further, I personally briefed Mr. Rosenstein on Jim Comey's memos describing his interactions with the president mere days after Mr. Rosenstein wrote the memo firing Jim Comey. Mr. Rosenstein's testimony is completely at odds with the factual record. It looks to be yet another sad attempt by the president and his men to rewrite the history of their actions in 2017. They have found in Mr. Rosenstein, then and now, a willing accessory in that effort. Would you like to respond?
Yes, thank you, Senator. I think one thing you need to appreciate, Senator, is that I had a very strong team working with me at the Department of Justice. I had some of the finest lawyers that I have ever met working with me at the Department of Justice. It was a team. It included Trump appointees. It included career people. I'm sure there were Republicans and Democrats. And that's why I'm confident, Senator, in what I did, because I spoke with my team, not Mr. McCabe. I didn't rely on Mr. McCabe. I spoke with my team about the actions that I was taking to make sure that they were appropriate. I did not say that Mr. McCabe misled me. Those were not my words. I think he's responding to somebody's question. What I said was he did not reveal the Comey memos to me for a week. And that is true. And he revealed them to me only a couple of hours before they showed up in the New York Times.
Think about this. So he comes back, he says that what he said was true. He didn't get it revealed to him on the Comey memos by Andrew McCabe. He also tries to, and he danced around it by saying, well, he was learning this from his staff.
Right, right.
So then everything gets more complicated because it's like a phone tag at that point, or it's to me. He tries to have it both ways. And the guy just accused him of lying to Congress under oath. I think he knows the seriousness of that, but he also knows that Andy McCabe is a known liar.
He is a known liar, and he lies consistently. But if I had made the statement, and I was Rosenstein, and I heard the statement that I had lied, I would make a much stronger statement in response to that, in my view, than what Rosenstein said. All he said is that he's got a strong team at the Justice Department, Trump appointees, career people, Republicans, Democrats, and so forth. I would have said, this is really an interesting thing coming from a known liar, who is Andrew McCabe, making the allegation that I am a liar. But it shows, in my view, Jordan, that they're now beginning to turn against each other and really to come out with what ultimately I think is the fact in this case, and that is this investigation of the president headed by Abraham Lincoln, Robert Mueller, should never have commenced. It should never have started. And when they saw that there was no collusion, and they knew that from the beginning, it should have been stopped.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they'll defend Robert Mueller's integrity. He's got a long military service. That's, you know, no one's talking about that. But there is a point in where you have to realize you don't have what it takes, whether it's age, whether that catches up to everybody in life, when it's time to step aside. I mean, he did that with the FBI and he served for a long time in the country. But you come back and you try to manage aggressive prosecutors. You got just take a listen to this. I mean, with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page are your lead investigators from the FBI that come onto your team. And I guess Rod Rosenstein is the one that had to tell Mueller to get rid of them. So he because I don't think he even knew that they were there, to be honest with you. I mean, I think he was not running this. Don't just take my word for it. Remember his testimony when he could not even cite what that was in the report generically. And everything was painful to watch. But that doesn't mean he's a great actor in this. It means he was letting people take him along. It's something he may not have been up for. And there's nothing wrong in saying no to these appointments, but he was being heavily pressured by people like Rod Rosenstein to do it. Take a listen, though, to what Lindsey Graham said. This is bite number 7 on my list, it's about one of those Page Strzok emails.
Finally, on August 8, 2016, Page says to Strzok, he's not ever going to become president, right? Strzok, no, he won't. We'll stop it.
This is why we're here.
I mean, Stan, there is this idea that from the core of this investigation, from the core of its moving parts, from the people who were overruling the field agents who said, close it on Flynn, there's nothing here, there's no crime here, this is wrong, we did our investigation, there's nothing here, nothing to see. And yet you have Peter Strzok and Lisa Page clearly in these messages to each other saying, we as the FBI are going to stop. Now, were they successful? They weren't successful in stopping the election, but then they have hamstringed the first 3.5 years. You've had impeachments. You've had the Mueller investigation. For the first 2 years, it was Mueller, right into impeachment on a totally unrelated issue. And now I think that finally Congress is getting back to doing its job.
Well, we was the seventh floor of the FBI, Jordan. I mean, just pretty plain and simple, because we have the evidence now. The January 4th memo from the Washington field office that says we're closing the investigation into General Flynn. Then you had the meeting the very next day in the Oval Office where Jim Comey and Joe Biden were both president. And eventually the investigation was reopened by Peter Strzok. He overruled the field office. But, Jordan, the really remarkable thing about the exchange between Rod Rosenstein and Andy McCabe to me was not so much the accusation of lying. Yes, that's a very serious allegation, but Andy McCabe's own defense, Jordan, it was in itself an admission. I mean, here were the words. Mr. Rosenstein approved of and suggested ways to enhance what? Our investigation of the president. Next line. Further, I personally briefed Mr. Rosenstein on Jim Comey's memos. Jordan, let me translate for the listeners. That translation is, I did it. But we were all doing it, including Rod. Rod was doing it with us. We were all doing it. Jordan, it's an admission of what we have said all along. He's trying to defend himself by pointing the finger, but right in his own words is the admission of what he was doing.
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Your questions, your comments, we're going to start taking those when we come back from this break. 1-800-684-3110. Remember to share this on Facebook and Periscope. A lot of folks watch on Facebook right now. And we, over 10,000 people are watching on Facebook right now. Share this with your friends and family. Click that share button. We can increase those numbers, bring more people into a discussion that, honestly, they're not really getting anywhere else. And again, click the share button. And let me welcome everybody at KKLA. We are now on for the full hour, 6 to 7 p.m. on KKLA. So for folks who got the first half hour, now you've got the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live. So both parts of the broadcast, which is great. So that's at KKLA, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. But let me encourage you, share this with your friends and family as well. We'll be right back. As always, you can check out ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
All right, folks, you want to talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we've played for you, and we'll do it again second half hour just so people get another chance, because sometimes it goes for about 2 minutes. So we'll play it again when we come back for the second half hour of the broadcast. But so you've already seen that Andrew McCabe, while the hearing was still ongoing, fairly unprecedented, came out with a statement. Now, this is somebody who is definitely at the center of any U.S. attorney investigation of this, because he was became the highest-ranking official at the FBI. He was the acting FBI director. But he was the deputy FBI director also in charge of this. So he's been involved from the very beginning, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page reporting directly to him as a deputy FBI director. Then he accuses Rod Rosenstein of providing false testimony. Remember, Rosenstein said he was not candid with him. He wasn't truthful with him. It was... and of course Rosenstein didn't ask the direct questions and who he was talking to. Rosenstein responded that, well, maybe he thinks I'm talking about exchanges with him, and he didn't tell me about the memos, but you know, I've got good stats. It was bizarre, the exchange, even when he had a chance to respond to those allegations under oath, live with the committee, in the hearing in Washington, D.C. But he was also asked about the 25th Amendment issue. And interesting enough, this came from the senator from Hawaii. There's a Democrat who I think was hoping this would make him squirm. Now, he gives a careful answer on it, but it's probably not what Democrats hope to get. But take a listen, because a lot of you asked about this. This is Rod Rosenstein being asked. Was he part of some coup attempt?
Let me ask you the question about, did you suggest or hint at secretly recording President Trump?
I did not suggest or hint at secretly recording President Trump.
Have you ever discussed with anyone the possibility of invoking the 25th Amendment to remove this president from office?
I have never in any way suggested that the president should be removed from office under the 25th Amendment. And I can give you a more detailed explanation if you have time.
So they didn't want that explanation. It was interesting to me, Andy. They wanted these direct statements that I think they were hoping maybe on one of those he would start squirming a little bit. But he knew those were coming at some point in this hearing, because everybody's been asking about it. Now, what's interesting to me is he flatly denied the wire part. That was probably the most unequivocal he's been. He's like, I never even discussed that. On the other, he was very specific about the 25th Amendment. And he didn't use that in the discussion to talk about removing the president.
Yeah, he said, no, I didn't wear a wire. I didn't talk about wearing a wire. And I didn't ever talk about invoking the constitutional provisions of the 25th Amendment, which allow the removal under certain circumstances of the president from office. But he was very careful to limit himself to saying, I didn't discuss the removal of the president under the 25th Amendment. That didn't mean that there were not other ways that he and his colleagues could have been discussing the usurpation of the electorate, a decision of the people of the United States to elect the president, to remove him in another fashion. And that's through the Mueller investigation and coming up with a hoax of collusion with the Russians. So he was very equivocal. He's a very smart and cagey guy, Rosenstein. You're not going to get him to commit to anything. And Senator Cruz and he had some very virulent exchanges between the two over the fact that he wouldn't answer him directly. And the same thing with Senator Hawley from Missouri. So he's a very cagey guy, Rosenstein. But he never really committed to saying, I never discussed removal of the president under any circumstances, under any statutes, and under any laws. He just limited himself to what Hirono asked, and that was with respect to the 25th Amendment. I find that very interesting.
So the 25th Amendment, of course, was adopted in the United States as a constitutional amendment after JFK's assassination, about how you could replace the president or vice president in the case of death, removal, resignation, incapacitation. And so that was what he was being accused of. And he's been accused of that in books. He's been accused of that publicly by people like Andy McCabe, and that they were having these kind of discussions. But Thad, to me, you're having this back and forth, but the fact that, we talked about on air again, that would Andy McCabe respond to this, that he wasn't forthcoming? You know, he wasn't very candid with Rod Rosenstein. He was basically, it seemed like he was hiding things, looking back at this now. And Andy McCabe didn't respond by just saying, I don't think that's correct, or I think he was wrong in his recollection. He came right out and said it was false. And he was under oath. So he knows what that means as a former FBI director. That's a serious allegation that you could actually go to jail for.
Yeah, I mean, the finger pointing's begun, and I don't think it's going to stop for a long time. And a couple things that we know unequivocally, Jordan. Number one is that Andy McCabe already testified under oath, under penalty of perjury, that a lot of the information in the Steele reporting was not validated. Now, what we don't know, it's a he said right now, is when the briefing between Andy McCabe and Rod Rosenstein took place. It depends which man you trust. I suggest there's reason maybe to trust neither. But to the conversation that you just had with Andy, I mean, the plan that did go forward to undermine the president was the appointing of the special counsel, and that was at the direction of Rod Rosenstein. And he made a pretty stunning admission yesterday, Jordan. I mean, I know a lot of the headlines were about his defense of his friend Bob Mueller personally and defense of his decision to appoint him. But in the midst of that defense, Jordan, he specifically admitted that there was no predicate to take him there. That's a very key omission. I mean, yeah, he might say Bob Mueller's a good man. He might say, based on what I was reviewing, I think I was still right to make that appointment. But Jordan, by admitting that there was no predicate to get there, it should have never been a decision that was even on the table to make. It's a really stunning admission.
All right. Let's take a call before the next break. Let's go start with Pam in Michigan on line one. Pam, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm so upset about the timing of these hearings that I'm not sure I can talk about it coherently, but I'll try. This is nothing but a dog and pony show. We already know everything. It's just a repeat. If Senator Graham was legit, he had the power to do this a year or even 2 years ago. We had to wait and wait for the Horowitz report, which came out a big dud, and now we're sitting on our hands waiting and waiting for the Durham report. We need the Durham report. We need to not drag
this out. Let
me jump
in. Durham's not going to necessarily issue some report. We've gotten used to that because we had Mueller. That was a special counsel, and they felt like they needed to lay out their conclusions. And they did it in a kind of incohesive 400-plus pages, two volumes, and a lot of copy and pasting, you can tell, and sentence structures that don't even make sense, and bizarre. And Bob Mueller never even read through it. When he went and testified, he had to have an assistant next to him just to figure out the page numbers of what was in the report. But then, on timing-wise, there were issues raised by the Inspector General. There are issues raised by the U.S. Attorney. There's also, this is just the opening salvo, if you will. This was a witness who came, he was not under subpoena, but was under oath. But now you've got the debate going on right now as we speak. I mean, let's answer that question when we come back. Why did it take this time? Now, we also have had an impeachment happen in the United States. We've had a virus go on. And you know, to me, again, I think it can be frustrating to people because of what happened with Mueller and what happened with the impeachment. Remember, the impeachment was about Ukraine and it wasn't about Russia. Our country's been through a lot because of Rod Rosenstein's decisions. The man's kept the ball rolling for the FBI and decided he was, I guess, hoodwinked, he's now saying, into appointing a special counsel. I guess that's what he was saying. I'm not sure if he would agree with that or not, because he loved what the special counsel found, which is that there wasn't any collusion, but he knew that he could have figured out in the beginning if he would have asked the FBI agents who were actually investigating Mike Flynn, who said they should close the case. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, second half hour, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you, too, if those watch on Facebook, Periscope, share this with your friends and family. Click that share button out. Thousands of people watching, utilizing the Facebook. They're watching the broadcast. They're able to see the special videos we put together, too, during the breaks when we're on the air radio. I know most of you are listening via radio still, and that's great because in KKLA, you're getting that second half hour now. So welcome to all of you who are getting the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live right now. And this, again, we do a full live one-hour broadcast, but it's great to be live the full hour at KKLA, 6 to 7 p.m. And for those of you, again, in the L.A. area and in the surrounding area who get that signal, we are glad and excited that you get that second half hour now of the broadcast. Now, Than, I wanted to give you the opportunity to respond, because I think it was a good question for Pam. People are frustrated out there. They do wonder, why did it take the Senate Judiciary Committee this long to call back people like Ron Rosenstein and to move ahead with the subpoena power?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question too, Jordan, and it can be frustrating, but I think one of the key considerations, and there's no exact answer on how to get this right, but when you do proceed, you want to make sure that you get testimony that actually paints a clearer picture and helps us understand it. And I would tell you two things. One, I think there was extraordinary value in getting the guy who both appointed the special counsel and signed off on the FISA applications to admit essentially that there was no predicate for either. That's extraordinarily valuable. Why? It's because of the other 52 witnesses that the committee wants to question. Jordan, when you think about Andy McCabe or Peter Strzok or Lisa Page or Joseph Pienka coming before this committee in light of this and telling them, look, the guy that signed off on all of this said he wouldn't have signed it if he had the information that all of you had. Now answer this question. Did you give it to him or was he lying? Jordan, all of a sudden, those depositions or those interviews of those witnesses become a whole lot more valuable if they'd have just rushed them out of the gate. So I agree with the caller partially. There is some frustration, but once you get to them, you have to be prepared to get value out of them. And yesterday, extraordinary value. The guy at the top said there was no predicate for either action.
All right. I wanted to play this for you again. I think it's a good time to do it. So we're in the second half hour now, and I want to play it for you again so we know what we're talking about, because Rod Rosenstein is still testifying when Andrew McCabe comes out and says he was giving false testimony. So Lindsey Graham reads what Andrew McCabe's statements. He gives an opportunity for Rod Rosenstein to respond. I want you to take a listen.
This comes from Mr. McCabe. Mr. Rosenstein's claims to have been misled by me or anyone from the FBI regarding our concerns about President Trump and the Trump campaign's interactions with Russia are completely false. Mr. Rosenstein approved of and suggested ways to enhance our investigation of the president. Further, I personally briefed Mr. Rosenstein on Jim Comey's memos describing his interactions with the president mere days after Mr. Rosenstein wrote the memo firing Jim Comey. Mr. Rosenstein's testimony is completely at odds with the factual record. It looks to be yet another sad attempt by the president and his men to rewrite the history of their actions in 2017. They have found in Mr. Rosenstein, then and now, a willing accessory in that effort. Would you like to respond?
Yes, thank you, Senator. I think one thing you need to appreciate, Senator, is that I had a very strong team working with me at the Department of Justice. I had some of the finest lawyers that I have ever met working with me at the Department of Justice. It was a team. It included Trump appointees. It included career people. I'm sure there were Republicans and Democrats. And that's why I'm confident, Senator, in what I did, because I spoke with my team, not Mr. McCabe. I didn't rely on Mr. McCabe. I spoke with my team about the actions that I was taking to make sure that they were appropriate. I did not say that Mr. McCabe misled me. Those were not my words. I think he's responding to somebody's question. What I said was he did not reveal the Comey memos to me for a week. And that is true. And he revealed them to me only a couple of hours before they showed up in the New York Times.
Now, when we come back, I'll play you what Rod Rosen said, what led to this, because it's important. And we played it yesterday, but it's important now with that extra context, because now he's trying to say what he didn't say. And we all went to the legal definition. It's all he did say that Andrew McCabe was being untruthful, withholding information, not being forthcoming, not candid. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
This is what started. This is all interesting. We all wait for people to turn on each other. And when they start accusing each other of being liars, giving false statements, as Andrew McCabe also used the term accessory, we're going to talk about that as well. I mean, he used two specific terms, false testimony, accessory. False and accessory. He was not as cagey, I'd say, or, you know, coming up with trying to weasel out of everything, truth be told. Rod Rosenstein, almost every answer was a double negative or was like positive no, yes, no. I mean, Mueller was good, but the predicate for Mueller is bad and his investigators were bad. They were partisan. But this is what started. This is why Andrew McCabe responded, which was interesting because it puts him right back in the middle of it. Take a listen.
Do you think McCabe knew that?
I hope not, Senator. I do not personally know.
Was he in charge of the investigation?
Yes, he was.
Did he ever lie to you?
Mr. McCabe, I don't believe, Senator, that there are any occasions in which I identify that he lied to me.
Okay. Did he ever say anything, looking back, that is perplexing to you?
That's a very broad question, Senator. I had a lot of conversations.
Do you think he was truthful to you?
I believed, Senator, that Mr. McCabe was not fully candid with me. He certainly wasn't forthcoming.
Okay. So then Andrew McCabe responds back in a written statement. And Andy, we talked about the false part. Now let's get to another term, which he accuses Rod Rosenstein of being some accessory as well. These are very legal law enforcement type terms, obviously, that carry more significant weight than Rod Rosenstein was willing to use with even Andrew McCabe.
Oh, they really do carry a lot of significant legal implications and weight. First of all, he says he's one of the Trump men to wanting to rewrite the history of their actions in 2017. And then this is the troubling statement, troubling on the part, if I was Rosenstein or anybody looking at this, they have found, this is McCabe talking, in Mr. Rosenstein then and now a willing accessory in that effort. Do you know what an accessory is? An accessory is a term we use in the criminal law to mean an aider and abettor, someone who aids, counsels, procures, is hired to, and participates in the commission of a crime. That's an accessory. like somebody who takes somebody who is fleeing a murder scene and hides him in his house so that the police will not apprehend him, or gives a false statement about where evidence is, or tries to conceal or hide evidence in a criminal case so that the person who perpetrated the crime is not implicated. That's an accessory. Words are charged with a real serious meaning. When you say somebody is an accessory in an effort to do something, you are saying, from my perspective, and I'm just a simple-minded Georgia lawyer, but when you say accessory, what you are saying is you are bringing in the whole panoply of the criminal law to this, and you are saying that somebody committed a crime as an accessory to that crime. That's a very dangerous statement. And what amazes me, Jordan, is that Rosenstein's response to McCabe was so wishy-washy.
You've attended a number of these. You know, you see these here. What about that pause?
Oh, the pause.
I mean, it was like,
I mean, if you were in court,
really,
and you heard,
he was carefully thinking what he was trying to going to say.
Yeah,
to
he
that.
Said, "Did he lie to you?" And then we wait 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then he comes up with, "Well, I'm not going to say that he lied to me. He said he was not. I wrote it down. Not fully candid and not forthcoming." Well, let me tell you, don't play mince words and bandy terms like that around. He lied to you is what he did, and then you're trying to say that he was not fully candid and forthcoming. Then McCabe comes back the next hour or that afternoon and says, "Well, I'll tell you what he did, Rosenstein. He provided false testimony." So where Rosenstein was wishy-washy, McCabe, of all people, the liar, says that Rosenstein provided false testimony.
Let me go right to Thad Bennett in Washington, D.C., because Thad, I want your reaction to you, because you also see a number of these hearings, and usually when someone comes right out, they ask these pretty direct questions, and if you're already going to have decided in your head you're going to say this about Andrew McCabe, that he wasn't truthful, and you know he's not candid, he's not forthcoming, you would think that that could be a more immediate response, but he was obviously kind of trying to craft that in his head before he responded. But so you see a lot of hearings like that, but there's also some breaking news on this with the Senate Homeland Security Committee. So this is a separate committee, and they've actually taken an additional step to bring witnesses forward.
Yeah, so just one thing before that, Jordan, I just underscore what Andy said. I mean, the direct words from Andy McCabe is that Rod Rosenstein approved of and suggested ways to enhance the investigation. So, Jordan, I would expect that will be question one when Andy McCabe comes before the committee. Do you have evidence to show that Rod Rosenstein did actually suggest ways to enhance that investigation? But you're right, Jordan. The Senate Homeland Security Committee just now voted by a vote of 8-6 to authorize subpoenas in this case. The scope will be a little bit narrower than in the Senate Judiciary Committee, Jordan, but they will go to the FBI, to the State Department, to the ODNI for Steele dossier documents. They will also request testimony from James Comey, John Brennan, Samantha Power, Ambassador Bryce, Sidney Blumenthal, James Clapper, and others. So, Jordan, again, it's pieces to the puzzle when you have this many committees with subpoena power looking at it, and you have all these witnesses trying to point the fingers at each other. Jordan, the picture will start to become more clear. So I'm glad the second committee is in on the action here.
We're taking your calls, your comments, your questions at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I can let you know, I think that if you call now, you can get through. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Mary in Maryland on line 3. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. I pray for you guys all the time.
Thank you.
And I'm just so grateful for what you're doing for the country. It's wonderful.
Thanks,
my question deals with Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
There are so many people that are aware of what was going on and actually working toward the goal of getting rid of the president, which she ended up doing. And I was wondering, if someone is that much aware and they are sort of on the team, are they implicated also?
I mean, you know, I think that it's probably more likely, like Thad just went through that list of executive branch officials from the Obama administration, people that would have had direct access to the intel. Obviously, Nancy Pelosi could get access as well, but she would not have the power to, like, unmask. She would not have that ability to get the ball rolling, to get it started. She's a partisan actor, but remember, the impeachment was not about this. Thad, I mean, we have to remind people, we've been through a lot as a country in just 2020. But we have to remind people that the partisan impeachment vote by the House was not about Russia. It was about a phone call with the Ukrainian president.
That's because they didn't find anything in the Mueller investigation, Jordan. So they had to find something else to impeach, because that was the plan beforehand, that they would have an impeachment proceeding. When the Mueller investigation came up with nothing, they had to go with something else. I would say this to the caller. Look, I'm all about holding the Article I branch accountable. I think Speaker Pelosi, the Senate Intelligence Committee, and others should be held accountable. But Jordan, what I would say is this. I think the committees with jurisdiction over power is sober as this. The power to surveil American citizens, those committees need to be more vigilant. And I would specifically look at the House Intel Committee and the Senate Intel Committee. One's run by Democrats, one's run by Republicans. Jordan, they would have had more information about this FISA process. I don't think they did a good enough job pursuing it. And to a point you've made many times, guess whose responsibility it is to make sure that the changes are made, the reforms that happen, that it doesn't happen again. It is those two committees. It is the United States Congress. And quite frankly, Jordan, these powers, they shouldn't be reauthorized until those reforms are made.
Let me let you know, too. Attorney General Barr is addressing the country right now at a press conference, and he's discussing both the civil rights investigation ongoing and in what occurred with George Floyd, which is at the federal level you can look at. And he's also laying out that they have evidence of Antifa and foreign actors. This is key, because he's saying they have evidence now that both Antifa and foreign actors are, quote, hijacking the peaceful parts of the protest for an extremist agenda. So this is the Attorney General of the United States coming right out, because this media narrative, oh, everything is about these peaceful protesters, but, you know, looting and all of that, we don't allege that that's part of some leftist group. And he's now saying they have evidence. There's foreign actors involved, Antifa involved. And to see, I mean, I think that we're right to see that these other countries are enjoying this, unfortunately. Our adversaries, those that we know want to interfere, whether it's Russians or Chinese government or others, to see the chaos on the streets of the United States. So that is occurring right now as we speak with the Attorney General of the United States. He's, quote, again, evidence that Antifa and other extremist groups have instigated violent activity. So for those of you still, we're still watching, of course, carefully. There's cities across the country that we know are dealing with extremely difficult situations. And there's the debates raging about presidential power. We've tried to put that to rest. You cannot like it, but guess what? The president has the power to do it. You know, these are again. So we just heard from Attorney General Barr. Now FBI Director Wray is speaking to this as well. We could discuss that too if you got questions about that. 1-800-684-3110. In the final segment of the show today, 1-800-684-3110. And if you're getting the full hour now on KKLA, we want to welcome everybody in the evening. 6 to 7 p.m. now, getting the full hour of Jay Sekulow Live. It's great to have you, not just for 30 minutes, but for the full hour of the broadcast. We'll be right back. As always, go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Find out what we're up to at the American Center for Law and Justice and information we're putting out as well. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So we also learned, too, at this press conference with Attorney General Barr and FBI Director Chris Wray. This is on the rioters. So it's very important, I think, that foreign actors, the FBI and the Department of Justice, they believe that, you know, that they're saying they have evidence that it's not even just Antifa, which is an international group, but that there's foreign actors involved in, quote, hijacking the protests for an extremist agenda. They've also announced they made 51 arrests for violent federal crimes that have been occurring during these riots. So this is interesting. I think it's also this idea that the media has got a lot of this wrong, and some of it is just because it happens in real time, and they're kind of reporting what they think is happening, and even if you're giving them credit, if you want to give them credit for that. But ultimately, what the problem is, they haven't been correcting a lot of their misstatements. So this idea of the Insurrection Act, I mean, the truth is, it doesn't really matter what a former Secretary of Defense thinks about it. It's the law of the land. And so maybe he shouldn't be acting like he knows constitutional law. I know he reads a lot of books, and that's wonderful. But there's some pretty clear laws that give the president this power. Doesn't mean you would necessarily use that all the time. Obviously, it's something you use when only you have to. But I think that there was a cop stabbed in the neck last night in New York City in front of everybody. You know, this is right in the media. This is what you're seeing. This is what reporters are seeing happen. Okay, this is what we're seeing. You think that we're seeing everything in New York? They don't have enough cameras to do that. They don't have helicopters to cover it. And this has gone on and on and on. New York is like a failed state in the international sense. To me, Andy, just to talk about this for a minute, because we'll get right back to the phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. But you look at what's happening there. You see what's happening in places like Atlanta. It's been an ebb and flow, but it's gone back again to these to really violent acts. We're seeing people using what was referred to as weapons of mass destruction in Philadelphia to blow up or attempt to blow up, or somebody killed themselves doing it, an ATM.
These are reprehensible acts that I see across the country every night, night after night after night. And I know the citizens and our listeners are asking the question, when is this going to be over and how is it going to be over? And I think the president has got a very difficult decision to make. And that is ultimately if the local law enforcement agencies, that is to say the National Guard, localized by the governors of the states, if the governors of the states, if the mayors cannot quell these insurrections, then perhaps the president should invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807. And that's right, I said 1807, which you in the previous broadcasts have indicated, Jordan, many times it has been invoked by JFK. It was invoked as late as 1992 in the Rodney King riots. But we've got to bring peace and order to the United States. We cannot have windows being cracked. What is the connection, I want to know, between crashing a window at Phipps Plaza in Atlanta, Georgia, and taking out Gucci gowns and the death, the murder, if you will, of George Floyd in Minneapolis? What is the nexus? What is the connection? How is what happens in Atlanta at two major shopping centers that I personally know of have got to do with the vicious and senseless murder of a citizen in Minneapolis, Minnesota? How does that bring justice to the cause that is being sought here? It does not, is the answer to the question. Not at all.
All right, folks. I mean, to quote Attorney General Barr, just so you know exactly what he said, quote, "We are also seeing foreign actors playing all sides to exploit the violence." And whether that's through social media and through just getting, whether it's news about, hey, let's start this, or if it's phony, it was fake news out there, putting this out to try and encourage chaos, basically. Encourage chaos. But I do want to take the phone calls we've got coming in too before we finish the broadcast today. And again, we're going to stay up to speed on all of these issues. We can go through some of that press conference. We'll see what happens throughout the whole day. A lot happening in days now. But for the broadcast tomorrow as well. Let's go to Jack in Ohio on line one. Jack, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. What I was curious about is, are there any Democrats in the Congress or Senate that are interested in what happened to Trump, how the spying got started, how unjust it was? Is there anybody supporting?
So this is a good one for you. The Senate, they loved bringing these folks before. It seemed like they kind of relished these opportunities to talk about Russia all day and night on television until the narrative changed.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Jordan. I mean, I would tell you there are a couple of members, maybe Pat Leahy in the Senate, maybe Zoe Lofgren in the House, who are at least for some of these FISA reforms, and they've been verbal about it. But I got to tell you, Jordan, if you dig just a little bit later, deeper there, the determination to do it is just not very resolute. And I'll give you an example. Today, during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, there was an attempt to try to kind of call Chairman Graham's bluff. And I mentioned this earlier, but the Democrats said, you pretend that you want to get to the bottom of all this and call these 53 individuals. Well, we've got 10 or 12 witnesses that we'd like to call too, and we're going to start with the special counsel, Bob Mueller. And Lindsey Graham said, okay, we'll issue subpoenas for them as well. And they backed off. They said, no, we were just speaking rhetorically. Right. So, Jordan, I would tell you that their actions don't back up their words. They say they're interested, but when Chairman Graham says, we'll do it, they back off.
I mean, the last thing they want is Bob Mueller testifying again. The man, maybe he's had time to read this report now, though I suspect he has not. You know, he did it, here he was. But it was sad to see. And they thought that was going to be, remember, they thought that was going to be great for them. They thought he was going to amplify a message that wasn't in the report, but that they could maybe get him to go further than the reporter, this and that. It was all the news was focusing on, and the guy literally did not know what was on page one. So, Thanson, you call their bluffs right now. Enough is enough. They need to get to the bottom of it. John in Texas on line two, final call of the day. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, I was just curious. Do you think that the Senate investigation could somehow overlap in the Durham's where it can mess with his? Like, in other words, if he's starting to come to a conclusion and land it, and they find out some new stuff, I heard this might go on through till October, but I heard a Durham might wrap up in a few months. What's your thoughts on that?
And a few months is also October. So I think that at this point, if you could get people testifying publicly and they start accusing each other of lying, that's probably not bad for a U.S. attorney.
No, I think it would be good. I would love to see, if I was the United States attorney and I was conducting what Durham's investigation is all about, I would love to just watch from the sidelines what is happening in the Senate Judiciary Committee with respect to these 53 or 56 or however many subpoenas that are issued. And I would love to see if the evidence that I have gathered through my FBI investigations and grand jury subpoenas matches up with what is happening in the Senate. It's just more fodder for my investigation. But again, it takes time, and it's not anything that's going to happen quickly. I trust and hope to see something by October. Certainly, I hope to see it before the end of the year. God forbid that there's a new administration in Washington and this all comes tumbling down. That could happen, Jordan.
All right, folks, we're going to get I explain this as it happens. The subpoena issue, I think that's so telling. Well, we want Bob Mueller to come back. Okay, sure. Let's have Bob Mueller come back. Oh, that's just rhetoric. Just rhetoric. The United States Senate. Remember, it's getting to their friends. It's politicians are being implicated now on the other side. Why was President Obama being able to brief everybody? Why did Susan Rice send that email the final day after President Trump was even sworn in office? But it's like the last thing she did. Everything was done by the book. Maybe because the President of the United States at the time, now former president, was briefing his staff, including the Deputy Attorney General, on the investigation. So, again, a lot to talk about. We've got another broadcast tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.